Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am glad that you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. We're going to have a good show. We're going to talk about gratitude, what I call the miracle drug. I even call gratitude the nuclear option. And we're going to talk about gratitude, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Let me first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries, and we've got so much on our website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. We got past radio shows, we've got a YouTube channel there, we've got charts, we've got exercises, and we have a link to our sister website, puttinggreenblog.com. puttinggreenblog.com. You'll see it on the website. That's where we have our weekly devotionals, the Putting Greens that we call them, that we send out each week. You can sign up for those free of charge. We've got books that we've published on that website. Just start at 721ministries.org and work your way around that, and you'll find a host of, I think, very helpful things on those websites. Again, I'm glad that you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. We are going to talk about perhaps my favorite topic, gratitude. Now, it is the week of Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving was yesterday, and we do have the holidays in front of us, the Christmas holidays. And so it is a great time to reflect on gratitude and reflect on being thankful for all the gazillion blessings you have in your life. No matter where you are listening today, no matter where you are, you still have so many blessings in your life. And if we could just teach ourselves, practice, be proactive about listing these things, thinking about these things, just the multitude of blessings that the Lord has lavished on us. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. 1 John 3:1, what a great statement. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. So we're going to talk about this, and I do call it the miracle drug because it cures whatever ails you. I call it the nuclear option because it nukes any negativity in your life. Let me start with a couple of quotations. This one is from Frank A. Clark. If a fella isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get. I think that's so true. If a fella isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get. Here's another one from Naomi Williams. It is impossible to feel grateful and depressed at the same moment. And it is. So we're going to talk about gratitude. We're going to talk about thankfulness. Let me start by asking you, how often do you find yourself criticizing and complaining? A good friend of mine, my dear brother, Irv Philpott, often tells me things that he reads in Jesus Calling, and that comes from February the 21st. You should look that up. But how often do you find yourself criticizing and complaining? And the answer is more than I wish, more than I'd like to admit. I don't think of it as criticizing, and I don't think of it as complaining, but that's what it is. And the point is, when you do, when I do, we have lost our focus on gratitude. It's just that simple, because when you are overwhelmed with gratitude, it's almost impossible to criticize. It's almost impossible to complain about things. And I am full of gratitude, thinking about, pondering all the multitude of blessings that my Heavenly Father has lavished on me. It really is just darn hard to be in a bad mood. Gratitude, like I say, it's a miracle drug. It's like an aspirin. It just fixes whatever ails you. With a spirit of gratitude, sicknesses, I call them sicknesses now, such as worry, anxiety, fear, and yes, even envy, greed, and lust, and unforgiveness, they can all be not just mitigated, but so often just eliminated. Now, think about this. I'm carrying resentment. I cannot seem to forgive someone. Well, I have obviously forgotten how much he has forgiven me. I find myself worried and full of fear and anxiety, which I do from time to time. Not much, because I thankfully have shifted that trust factor over to Jesus. But when I do, what about if I just focus on all the things he's already done for me, the incredible richness of his grace and mercy and love? And then I would have to say, well, exactly what was I worked up about? I'm tempted to lust or hate or judge or be envious or resentful or whatever any of those negative emotions are, and I step back and have I really so quickly forgotten all the things he's done for me? Am I really that much of an ingrate? Well, see, so much of this presupposes that God Almighty has indeed blessed you with his salvation, that he has lavished that grace on you. Now, that wouldn't be true for everybody in the audience. I don't mean to offend you, but I have to speak the truth. I feel so humbled and grateful that he would save a wretch like me. I probably have an advantage over you. I was such a wretch that I have so many things to be grateful for that he saved me from. That's probably bad grammar, but I do. And perhaps you were just a really nice person and really not that bad, so you haven't seen any need to be saved. You're not desperate in surrender. Now, I'm more like the woman who lived a sinful life in the parable versus the Pharisee who really hadn't done that much wrong. But are you overwhelmed by his past and present grace? Are you? Because if you're not, then I'm going to throw out two things that might likely sting, but if they sting, then pay attention to the sting. Number one, you have not been saved by his grace, and therefore you don't really know what I'm talking about. Or if you have, you are indeed just an ingrate. Now, I say this with love and a warm smile, yet that truth may offend. If you want to live with joy power over willpower, live with gratitude. Gratitude will engender that joy power, and you won't need as much willpower. One is a burden, we're living with willpower. The other is a blessing, living with joy power. Listen to this quotation from Fred DeWitt Van Amberg. That's a heck of a name, isn't it? Gratitude is a currency that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy. Gratitude is a currency we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy. You can always have more and more gratitude and just spend it freely because it keeps coming when you learn to focus on the lavishness of your Heavenly Father, the incredible riches and the blessings and the gifts from Jesus. So last week, we were talking about honoring your Heavenly Father and honoring Jesus because they are worthy, honoring and pleasing them. And we read from Colossians 1, and I'll pick it up at verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And he gives us four ways to please him. We covered those last week. The fourth one is, and giving thanks to the Father. That pleases him, that you live a life giving thanks to the Father. See, it clearly is important to Jesus that we give thanks. Because in the story of the 10 lepers, we find in Luke 17, he heals 10 lepers. Only one comes back. It makes a big impression on Jesus. Let me just pick it up at verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan, which the point is, that's the least person you would expect. The Samaritans in the Jews' eyes were just outcasts. Verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where the heck are they? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus notices that this man came back and 9 did not. I wonder how often he may look at me and say, well, where's the thankfulness, Sam? Where's the gratitude? Have you not come back and thrown yourself at my feet and thanked me? What's going on here? And then Jesus makes this statement, verse 19. And then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. You see, this leper, he's thrown himself at Jesus' feet and he's thanking him for healing him. Jesus says, rise and go, your faith has made you well. He's already well. The act of thankfulness did not make him well, but I see this as Jesus meaning all of what you've just done is wrapped up into your being cleansed and healed and cleansed. not just healed of your leprosy, but now your heart has been cleansed and healed because you have a heart of gratitude. Now, why would we have this gratitude? Colossians 1:21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds, not his, but yours, because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Now, just think about that. Let's just pause. We read these words, and we roll right by them. But one day you will stand before God Almighty, El Shaddai, creator of the heaven and earth, whom everybody else that we ever read about in Scripture, when they just see a little pinpoint of his power and his grace and his light, they fall out. And you're going to stand before that God. And if you're saved, he sees you. How can this be? He sees you holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. Why would you ever live any moment of your life from this point forward not full of gratitude, overflowing gratitude for that simple fact? It's not just when you stand before him, it's how he sees you now. You, me, with all of my wretchedness and my thoughts and the inclination of my heart that's still there, he sees me. Why would I live in any way but full of gratitude? Listen to this. This just tickles me. This is something that's interesting. Nehemiah 12, verse 31. Nehemiah has built the wall. They finished the wall. Now they're going to celebrate. And Nehemiah says, I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned, listen to this, two large choirs to give thanks. Listen, you crowd over there, I want you all to go up stand on that side of the wall. Now you, this group, I want you to go on that side of the wall. What are we supposed to sing? No, you don't sing. You just give thanks the whole time. Two large choirs just to give thanks. Would it be we had that at our own church services? Two choirs that are just giving thanks the whole time. It sounds like heaven to me, doesn't it? It sounds like Revelation chapter 4 when the 100 million angels are circling the throne and the 24 elders and everyone's falling down and just giving thanks and giving thanks and giving thanks. I love that. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Love, joy. Every one of these is engendered by gratitude. They are permeated with gratitude. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, which really means generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Any one of these is just magnified by gratitude. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You cannot have these without gratitude. We make it say if you don't have gratitude, you don't have any of these. We could say gratitude is a fruit of the Spirit. Now here's an interesting thing I want to share with you. John chapter 6, all four Gospels give us the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. But only John gives us this observation. In verse 11, Jesus, before he breaks the bread and the fish and starts handing it out, what does he do? He gives thanks. Now, a little bit of day or so has passed. We're at verse 23. They're trying to find Jesus. And listen to what the Holy Spirit points out to us in verse 23. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread. That's the miracle, where Jesus had fed 5,000 people. That's enough, isn't it? Doesn't that pinpoint the location? But look what the Holy Spirit has John say next. I'll start again. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Why is that in there? That doesn't help us locate the site any better. We've already got the site. Apparently, the Holy Spirit through John is elevating Jesus giving thanks to the same level as feeding 5,000 people. It seems to have made as big an impression on John that he gave thanks before the miracle as the miracle itself. That's amazing to me. I've never heard a sermon preached on it. And yet there it is. Remember, John's writing, 60 years later? He's had a lot of time to reflect on this, and he's the only one that comes back and says, now I want to identify this place. That's the place over there where the 5,000 were fed. Yes, it was, but after the Lord had given thanks. Wow. Do you remember? I want to come back to that, but let me just say, do you remember in the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, Jesus, what did he do before he broke the bread? What did he do before he shared the wine? He gave thanks. Now, if I were to ask you, what does Eucharist refer to, the Eucharist, most people would say communion from the Last Supper. The Eucharist is the Last Supper, and therefore it's communion. But that's not what Eucharist means. Eucharist means to give thanks because the Lord Jesus gave thanks before he broke the bread. That's what made an impression. That's what has stuck with us through the centuries. Not the fact that it was communion. We think Eucharist is communion. Eucharist is giving thanks. So the Lord had given thanks at this spot. John comes back and he emphasizes that. And I just have to think, after pondering this for 60 years and the Holy Spirit working in him, that is an important thing for John to point out. And possibly it's that Jesus was giving thanks before the miracle. He's fully God, fully human. Does he know he's going to really be able to feed 5,000? Is he that confident? But he's giving thanks either way. It's before the miracle. Is it that Jesus, now that John has reflected all these years, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he condescends to give thanks to his Heavenly Father when he is on the same level as God? He is God. I think both of those apply. But the fundamental important fact is it's there. It's there on equal basis with the feeding of the 5,000. So when we lose our focus on gratitude, we start to criticize and complain. The Holy Spirit through Paul in Romans 1:21, just listen to this. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him, honored him as God, nor gave thanks to him. You see, Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, is putting giving thanks to God on the same level as honoring him. And therefore, because they didn't, their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. This giving thanks is a big deal to your Heavenly Father. It's a big deal to Jesus. He tells the parable of the vineyard workers who were hired in the morning, and then at midday, and then late in the afternoon. The ones that would hire in the morning, now they must be day workers, because they don't work for the owner of the vineyard. He promised them one denarius when they get down to the men who were hired at 5 o'clock. He gave them one denarius, and the others, they assume they're going to get paid more. Now, if they're day workers, they should be very grateful just to have the work. But instead, they begin to criticize and complain. Here's what we pick up in Matthew 20, verse 11. When they received it, their denarius, they began to grumble against the landowner. And they say, wait a minute, those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us. They've lost all gratitude. Think about the parable of the older son and the little brother, the parable of the prodigal father. Not the prodigal son. Prodigal means extravagant to the point of wastefulness. And that's how the Heavenly Father, that's what Jesus wanted you to know about the Father, the Heavenly Father, that his grace and his love and his forgiveness is so extravagant that it almost seems wasteful. He just pours it out so much. The older brother, who now, understand, has received 2/3 of the estate. When the father split it up at the younger son's request, he got 1/3. The older brother, he got 2/3. He's the firstborn. He's loaded. And he didn't do anything to earn any of it. One might hope he would be full of gratitude. But what happens? He hears this big party going on, and he gets angry and refuses to go in. And his father comes out, and he says to his father, look, you, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed your orders. Wouldn't that break your heart if your child spoke to you that way, slaving for you? Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. No, I gave you 2/3 of the estate. You have all the goats you could possibly ever want. But when this son of yours, he has lost all gratitude, and so he's doing nothing but grumbling and criticizing and complaining. How could that be? He's been lavished with blessings that he did not earn, that his father earned. And yet, he lost his focus. Can you relate? This past Thursday, I was driving up to Raleigh to see my daughter. She's pregnant, due in January 1st. And I was cruising along, and right about the North Carolina-South Carolina line, I got a flat tire. I was right at the rest area, so I pulled over to the right. I was just actually beside it and beyond it, so I pulled over, got five horns blared at me, but I got over to the side, I backed in, and that was a real blessing, because to spend the next 2.5 hours sitting on the side of the interstate would have been harrowing, to say the least. But after I'd been sitting there for 2 hours waiting on AAA to get there, they couldn't get there, they couldn't find a driver, I finally just Googled and got a local tire store, and the man said, I'll come out there and see if I can help you. He comes out, his name was Junior, I call him Junior the Angel, and he plugged that tire. And he got me up going. Otherwise, I was going to be waiting until it got dark, maybe 7 o'clock. And by the time the AAA guy got there, there are not going to be any stores open. They're not for my tire. What was I going to do? And this little angel Junior came out and plugged my tire. Now, sadly, I am somewhat of an aggressive driver. And sadly, I have a dim view of most of the drivers around me when I'm on the interstate. I know Jesus isn't proud of that. It's just, it's something I'm working on. How do you think my heart was once I got that tire miraculously fixed and I'm back on the road with only a 2-hour wait versus another 3 or 4 trying to get there, maybe having to be hauled up there? I drove like a little angel. I drove with so much love, joy, peace, patience, because I was so full of gratitude that that man, Junior, had come and fixed that tire. It may sound like a small thing to you, but it changed my whole driving. Would it be that our lives were that way, that we kept that focus on the unbelievable gifts he's already given us? How could we ever criticize and complain? Now, I want to finish with some thoughts. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 17. This is God's will for you now, what we're getting ready to read. This is God's will for you, that you should be joyful always, in a conversational prayer with him continually, and giving thanks in all circumstances. That's his will. Joyful. Giving thanks in all circumstances. Now, it's a big step to give thanks in all circumstances. No matter where you are, that you can give thanks to him. That's a big step. Another step further is to give thanks for all circumstances. Now, how could you give thanks for all circumstances? Only the person that knows his Heavenly Father loves him perfectly. He's perfectly powerful and he's perfectly present. And I know that I'll be thanking you later. Remember, this is something, a practice that I've put in the last 3 or 4 years. When things are upside down, I say, I thank you now, Father, before I see how you work this out, because I know that you are going to work this out and I'll be thanking you later. I know that. So I'm going to thank you now for all circumstances. In all circumstances, because I know that I'll be thanking you later, because I always am. And I hope that you realize that you always are thanking him later, so that you can give thanks now. Be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances, maybe even for all circumstances, because you know he allowed it for your good or for someone else's good, and he's going to bring good out of it. Thanking before made a big impression on John when it came to the 5,000, feeding of the 5,000, that miracle. When Jesus is getting ready to bring Lazarus out of the tomb, John 11:41, he tells him to take away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus is thanking his Heavenly Father before he brings Lazarus out of the cave. And he says, I knew that you heard me. What if we could pray every time? I know that you hear me. And I know you're going to do right by yourself and by me. I know you're going to do the right thing. I know you're going to do what is the best for everyone involved. And so I'm just thanking you just because I want to thank you. I know you heard me. Before the miracle of the 5,000, before the miracle of Lazarus being brought back from the dead, Jesus thanks his Heavenly Father. Now, I want to leave you with two different things. Some exercises that will help you engender gratitude, and then a few questions that you might want to ponder, maybe perhaps even with your family. But the first practice in gratitude is the first 60 seconds. I don't even open my eyes. I really have become trained for this, practiced it so much, without thanking Jesus, thanking my Heavenly Father for so many gifts in my life. I may start by thanking Him for the house I live in, the neighborhood I live in, the fact that I now have a garage. I never had a garage in my life. I thank Him for the car I drive. I may thank Him. These seem to be surface things, but the next thing you know, I'm thanking Him for my health. The next thing you know, I'm thanking Him for all these little gifts that came along that day before, or that week before, that year before. All these things, I'm thanking Him. So that first 60 seconds. Another exercise is to put reminder notes in your daily devotional. And you'll come back year after year and you'll look at those notes and you'll go, wow, look what he did. Look what he did there. Another one is to add one or two specific things when you're returning thanks over a meal. And then when you experience any degree of joy whatsoever, just thank Jesus. Just thank Jesus. And let me close with these questions that you may want to ponder for yourself and for your family. Number one, we typically at Thanksgiving will say, what are you thankful for? But maybe add to that, what things in your life, what gifts in your life could you not have achieved on your own? What gifts or things in your life do you not deserve? What gifts or things in your life from the Father that have surprised you as to their joyfulness? What are you thankful for? Okay, but what about the gifts in your life that you now see as gifts that you could not have achieved on your own? That you do not deserve, that have surprised you as to the joyfulness that they have brought into your life? What about if you thought about those questions in your own life and you put those out there for your children and your family? And the more you ponder that, the more the gratitude will overwhelm you. Let me finish with a statement from Isaac of Stella, around 1100. May the Son of God, who is already formed in you, grow in you, so for you he will become immeasurable, and that in you he will become laughter, exultation, the fullness of joy, which no one can take away from you. Think about that. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.